Good morning. I love how it waits until Sunday to become a beautiful day, and yesterday was beautiful too. The tent meeting was a success. We had a great week of evangelizing and lessons. Like I said before, we have the videos posted, except the last one. It wouldn't let me, so I'll have to figure that out. But all the videos are posted on the Facebook page, or if you're friends with my personal Facebook, Colton Farrell, then they're all on there as well. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Planning on next year as well. We'll probably change up a few things. But glad to see everyone here on this beautiful Lord's Day. Of course, it is very beautiful outside and a good day to come and have fellowship and to worship together. As a teenager, I didn't really make any plans for my future. You're caught up in playing sports. You're caught up in the schoolwork and caught up with enjoying time with your friends. Now, any smart teenager would make plans for their future. I wasn't one of those smart teenagers. When it came to the day that I walked the stage to receive my high school diploma, I had no clue what I was going to do. Thankfully, I was asked to come and play baseball and to attend college, and that only lasted for a year, and then I worked many jobs throughout the years. But everybody makes plans. In some way, shape, or fashion, they make plans. And I had in my mind how life was supposed to go after high school. Well, guess what? They didn't stay that way for long. Things happen. Life happens. We must understand, and I don't think too many understand, that this life is short. This life is short. To us, to our eyes, as we're going day by day, we don't realize how fast it's going by. People can tell me all they want, but I don't think they truly understand. You know, the average individual will live 80 years, maybe longer. But a lot of times, people's lives are cut short. And it's not just by natural causes. Things happen. Car wrecks, disease, sickness. Things happen that we don't have control over. Life loves to throw a curveball from time to time. It really does. And so we must understand we are not promised tomorrow. We're not. We're not promised that we will wake up a week from now, a month from now, years from now. People make plans reaching out 5+ years on where they want their life to be, but here's the thing, that may never come. I've had people tell me, I'll come to Christ later in life. Later may never come. Yet we have many who continue living a life, and it comes back to the phrase that my generation came up with. It may be the generation after, but YOLO. And if you don't know what YOLO means, you only live once is what that means. Well, here's the thing. You don't. There is life after this life. Now, depending how you lived, depending on what you used your time for, will determine if that life after is good or bad. But there is a life after this one, and it's eternity. And eternity never ends, but this life does. And so we're going to look at life, because we need to understand this life that we have is a gift. It was a gift that you were given to wake up this morning and take that first breath. It's a gift that we have been given to enjoy as well. People will say the purpose of life is to pay taxes, to work and pay taxes and die. There's more to life than that. Yes, we need to work. Yes, we need to pay our taxes. But there's more to life. God has given us this gift to enjoy. But also, and most importantly, to live for Him each and every day. Life is a gift from God. God is the one who gives all things life. As we see in Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 24. God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. Here's the truth. God doesn't need us. He's the creator of all. He spoke the world into existence. He created all of this. Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't love His creation. As we go back to Genesis chapter 1, He created everything. The heavens, the earth, the vegetation, the water, all of it. The weather system, whatever it may be, everything that is involved in creation, He created. And when He was done, on the seventh day, He sat back and said, "It was good." It was good. It was great. It was grand. In Genesis chapter 2, we see the creation of man. Starting in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 2. Says, "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. And the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." He created man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He gave each and every one of us, and the people before gave them life. God can make life. He can also take it. As we see in many examples, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, 'This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified.' So Aaron held his peace." And even before Nadab and Abihu, going all the way back to Genesis, we see the world became increasingly wicked, violent, not glorifying God, doing as they please. God would wipe out all things except for Noah and his family and two of every creature that he ever created. He wiped. He has the right to take life, especially life that did not glorify, that did not obey, that did not regard him as holy. He has that right. Going to Acts chapter 5, the New Testament here, verses 1 through 6. And we all know this text very well, where a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. God, once again, must be regarded as holy and glorified. Here, Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit, and it cost them their lives. God had that right. Life, our life, can be gone in the twinkling of an eye. Our life can end like that. I remember years ago at West Virginia State University, there's a plant nearby, a chemical plant, and years ago, it dealt with very deadly chemicals. Chemicals that if you breathed in, you wouldn't know you were dead until you were dead. These chemicals were so dangerous that even if you smelt it, you would drop. There is nothing they could do for you. Now imagine how scary that was if they had an explosion or something went wrong. That's not good. Life can be taken at any time. I watched a documentary a week or so ago about Nagasaki and Hiroshima on the day they dropped the bombs. Hiroshima, these people were just going about their daily life, their daily tasks. Didn't even know what was about to happen until the bomb fell. Once again, we don't know. And it may not be in instances like that. It might be we get in our vehicles every day not thinking, life is precious, life is a gift. Thinking, well, tomorrow, you know, I got A, B, and C planned. Or next week, I got to go visit the grandkids, the kids. You never know. It can be taken away. Your life would be no more. Life is a gift. It is also a loan from the Maker. Guess what? It's not ours to waste. This life is not ours to waste. It is a loan. It has been given to us. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 16. Luke chapter 19. Starting in verse 16. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little. Have authority over 10 cities. Over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came saying, Master, here's your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, Out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? So here we have 3 servants who were given mina to use and multiply to double from the master. The first one did well, didn't he? Was given 10 minas. He multiplied that 10 more. Gave it back to the master, and he put him over 10 cities. The second one was given 5, multiplied that. He's put over 5 cities, but the third didn't do anything. He wasted the time that he could have been using wisely to multiply what he had been given. People waste much time. They do. We love to waste time as human beings. We love to waste our, some people love to waste their life away. Not doing much with life. There are people as we speak who are trying to find purpose, who are trying to find ways to use their time wisely because they understand it is a gift. Think about it. We sleep possibly 6 to 8 hours away. We need that sleep, right? We need rest. So imagine 24 hours, 8 hours of which we sleep. And then we spend 8 hours or more at work. And then when you come home, you want to spend time with the wife, the children. So add 2 to 4 hours. How much time do we spend with God? How much time do we spend in His Word? How much time do we spend in prayer? How much time do we give Him? Once again, so many will focus on family, which is a good thing, on work, which is a good thing. Of course, the rest we need, maybe exercising in between. Once again, they use their time for these things, which are good things. But the most important thing, they do not. If you love mother and father more than me, son and daughter more than me, you are not worthy of me. In Christ's own words, a man comes to Christ and says, I want to follow you, but let me first go bury my father. What does Christ tell him? Let the dead bury themselves. What we need to understand about that is that this man wanted to go spend more time with his father before he would die. His father was still alive. Christ commands us to give him our entire life, to pursue him daily, to give him time. When I was at camp, I would tell the young men and young women, give God 1 to 2 hours of your time to study, to pray. I would hope they would take that and do it. I don't know if they have or not. We should be giving him more time. Once again, are we? Are we wasting our time, or are we using it for the purpose of building the kingdom up? Are we using it to declare to the lost Christ? Paul, at one point, did not want to take money from the church. And so on the side, he would build tents. He would make tents. But I guarantee, even while Paul was doing that work to provide for himself, I guarantee you he was declaring to people Christ, teaching and preaching. The apostles used every minute they could to glorify God, to teach and preach, and to use their time wisely. Once again, those people who waste time are those whose souls are not right with God. And once again, I'm not saying your family is a waste, your work's a waste. Those are important things, and we are called to take care. Husbands are to love their wives as the Lord loved the church. The wives are to love their husbands, to provide each other the needs they have. And of course, the children, you need to spend time with your children. Raise them up in a godly home, absolutely. But are we ourselves spending enough time with God? Are we using our time wisely, or are we wasting it on worthless pursuits? once again, it is a loan. It is not ours to waste. Life is also precious and unique. It is the only time that we will make choices. This time now that we are here and so forth and so on is the only time we're going to make choices. There will come a time when choices will end. When you take your last breath, you won't be making any choices after that. The choices you made while you were alive are going to be taken into account, especially on the day of judgment. At that time, there is no turning back and saying, give me some more time so I can make the right choices. There is no more time when the judgment comes. There is no more time when you die before the coming of Christ. It's up. In Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 26, he then would have had to suffer once since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Do you eagerly await for the coming of Christ? Or are you terrified of that coming? Because let me tell you, those who are terrified are those who are lost, who have made the wrong choices and continue to do so and live with those choices that they have made. But understand, as you breathe now, as you sit here now, you have a choice to make. Understanding life is precious, life is unique. You have the opportunity now to choose Christ and to follow Christ. Will you make that choice, or will you make the foolish choice not to? Understanding, if you died tonight, where would you end up? Would you wake up in paradise, or would you wake up in torment? The rich man and Lazarus, which is not a parable, it's not a story. It was real. It happened. Lazarus did not have a good life while he was on the earth. The rich man, though, on the other hand, had a great life. But when they died, the rich man woke up in torment, pain, suffering. And that's just the beginning. Because when judgment comes, that will be for eternity. He asked Abraham if he would just dip his finger in water and put it on his tongue. But Lazarus, who was in Abraham's bosom, who was in paradise, do we understand? There will come a time when there will no longer be a... we will no longer make a choice, but we will be ushered into eternity. Eternity that has no end. If you try to wrap your mind around eternity, guess what? Good luck. It's going to drive you insane. It's going to drive you crazy. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're not going to read all of this, but verses 1 through 8. Solomon understood there was time for everything under the sun. We see in verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, and so forth and so on. There's a time for everything. And he would sum up Ecclesiastes by saying the only purpose we have is to fear God and keep his commandments. Solomon, who wasn't perfect, wasn't sinless, he disobeyed, he did things he wasn't supposed to, just like his father. Yet Solomon finally, in all his wisdom, understood, here's the purpose of this time that we have on this earth. The average lifespan for people in his day and the New Testament days was 40 to 50 years old. You were lucky to live to 50. You were lucky to live to be 60 and 70. There were people who lived. Now, of course, today, there are people that I have heard of who have lived to be 120 years old, which is truly amazing. It really is. It's truly amazing. Dick Van Dyke, I think he's 99. He might be 100 this year. I mean, that's a milestone. I hope that one day I can live to be 100. All depending on my health and how I am. If I'm mentally there, I don't know. But yet again, I understand life is short. Life is unique. Eternity is forever. There is no end. It is incredibly brief. Going back to our main text here in James, James understands life. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. What's he saying here? Is he saying people who make this plan for next year to do such and such is boasting is evil? People who don't keep their mind on Christ, it's all on the if the Lord wills us to make it to tomorrow. He's the one, once again, who gives life and takes life. When your name is called, when your number is called, there's nothing you can do. There's this guy I watched a documentary on, and the title of the documentary is Not to Die. That's his goal, is not to die. He wants to live forever, and this guy, it's crazy. I mean, and of course he has all the money to buy all the machines and everything to help him look younger, and he takes, I think, about 100-some vitamins a day. Okay, I can't imagine taking that many pills. But he eats real healthy and all this. But guess what? He's going to die. You're not going to live. We're not made to live forever in this life. This life is fragile. Job understood it. Job understood that life is short, but eternity is forever. Job chapter 7. Verse 6, and we'll be in Job for three chapters. Job chapter 7, verse 6. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Going on two chapters ahead. Job chapter 9, verse 25. Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. And then Job chapter 14, verse 1. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job, whose life was shattered at the beginning, his character was attacked, he lost his children, his property, his health, but yet we see Job remaining faithful to God, understanding that this life is not meant to be led forever. This life isn't meant to be perfect. But I know that God, my God, will be there. God was with Job. And of course, we see because of his faithfulness, God gave him more. Provided him more later on. So many waste time, waste their life pursuing worthless things. Money, power, health. Let me say this, it's good for you to exercise, it's good for you to eat right. Yes, is it okay to invest in stocks to make money? There's nothing wrong with that. But if that becomes your main priority, it's sin. It's become a god to you. We focus and we waste so much time pursuing these things. You know, going back to Ananias and Sapphira, was it wrong for them to keep some back for themselves? No. The sin was they lied to the Holy Spirit. We're giving all of it to you. When they were keeping some back for themselves, that was the sin. It was okay for them to keep some back. There was nothing wrong with that. It's when we give to the church, do we have to give our whole week, whole month paycheck? No. Give what you have decided in your heart. But our life needs to be solely focused on Christ. We are to use our time wisely, not foolishly. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, Paul understood this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And what is the will of the Lord? It is for us to go and glorify Him, serve Him, and to win lost souls. That's our purpose on this earth. Yet, are we right with God? Are our souls right with Him? Because if our souls aren't right, then before we can go after lost souls, we need to make sure we are right with God. Because we need to understand if we are walking in sin, and when our time is up, there's nothing more I can do for you. There's nothing more your family can do for you. Nobody can do anything for you at that time. Are you using this life fully for God? Are you walking as wise and not as fools? Are you understanding it is a gift? It is not ours to waste. Once again, life is short. And I fear many do not truly understand this. You know, preachers can say this and preach it until they're blue in the face, yet if people are not understanding, we're wasting time. Thinking about this gospel revival, it was successful, and many lost souls would have heard the preaching, the singing. I know the weather wasn't on our side, but the work that we did in between was important. It's important that we understand we're not going to see growth like we see at the beginning, both numerical and spiritual. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes work. And so if we are using our time to pursue worthless things, what are we doing for what matters? And that is to help the kingdom. Eternity is forever. And if we're not prepared to see our Lord and Savior, once again, when the day of judgment comes, your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, your parents, they can't stand and defend you before God. You will stand by yourself before God Almighty, the one who created all things. It's so important that we use our time wisely. So if you're not a Christian this morning, understand, and this is the last time you'll hear me say this, life is short, and your time will be up. If your soul is not right with God, your eternity will be awful. And so, want to know how to become a Christian? This is how you do it. You must hear the word which has been preached to you, Romans 10:17. You must believe that word which has been preached to you, John 3:16-17. You must repent of your sins. That means to change your mind, to change your life, to do a complete 180, 360 in your life, and to turn from sin, and to understand this is what's killing me, this is what's going to cause spiritual death. and to change. Then you must confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. We must confess Christ. Those who confess me before man, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But it doesn't stop there. We must be baptized. We must be immersed for the remission of our sins. Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:26, 1 Peter 3:21, and so forth, so on. Read the book of Acts. You'll see what baptism's all about. But it doesn't stop there either. You must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. And that means putting God as your whole life. For Paul said, to live is for Christ, and to die is, But Paul understood Christ was his entire life. Paul understood that. Once again, this is how you become a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, once again, I plead that you use your time wisely and use the time you have now to come forward. Or if you are a Christian, understand you're not free either. If you are in sin, you are separated from God. And at this time, if you don't make it right, you will lose your soul for eternity. Do not wait. This is the time now to make it right. We may not come back for evening services. Christ may come back, or we may take our last breath. Who knows? Take this time now. If you're not a Christian, give your life to Christ. If you are a Christian, renew your walk with Christ. If you need any assistance this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.